The Old Testament is a story sighing for an ending. Psalm 90 expresses it as well as any other. All our days are spent under your wrath, and we bring our years to an end like a sigh. Psalm 90 moans and groans like Eeyore, the donkey, from his dark, damp corner of the 100-acre wood. Psalm 90 groans like a world weary of a global pandemic. Psalm 90 sighs, and we sigh. Say it with me. Say these words from Psalm 90, verse 13. We ended before we got there. Repeat after me. Return, O Lord.
Return.
How long, O Lord?
How long?
Have pity on your servants, O Lord. The New Testament is a response to this sighing. And the New Testament writers, they speak with a special spring in their step. And among the most springy of them all is the evangelist, the biographer of Jesus, Mark, with his favorite adverb, oithous, variously translated as suddenly, immediately, and my favorite from the King James, straightway. You can feel Mark's energy when you listen to his opening chapters. If Psalm 90 moans and groans like Eeyore, Mark, with boundless, breathless energy, bursts into the scene like Tigger. You listen to it. You listen to the opening chapters of his good news about Jesus. I'll tell it for us this time, but I need your help. You've got four lines that I need you to repeat after me and say in unison. I'll say and you repeat. We'll practice. Line number one. What is this? Line number two. Everyone is looking for you. Line number three. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Line number four. We never saw anything like this. This is the beginning, just the beginning, of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it stands written in Isaiah the prophet. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John came on the scene, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the people of Judea and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were coming out to be baptized by John in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was wearing clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he would preach, saying, the one who comes after me is stronger than I am. I am not even worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandal. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass in those days, Jesus came. He came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And straight away, as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit, like a dove, descending into him. And a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. And straight away, the Spirit drives him into the wilderness, and he's in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he's with the wild animals, and the angels are ministering to him. And after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The rule and reign of God is at hand. Repent now and believe the good news." And going alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen, you know. And he called them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you become people who fish for other people." And straight away, they left their nets and followed him. And going on a bit further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, sitting in their boat, mending their nets. And straight away, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And going into Capernaum, straight away on the Sabbath, upon going into the synagogue, he was teaching. And everyone was astonished at his teaching because he was teaching them, exuding authority. And straight away there was in their synagogue a man in the power of an unclean spirit. And he cried out in a loud voice, "What are you meddling in our affairs, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and said to him, "Be muzzled and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, upon convulsing the man a lot and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And so they were all thunderstruck, and they started arguing among themselves, saying, "Is your line? What is this? What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." And straight away the report went out everywhere into all the surrounding regions of Galilee. And straight away Jesus left the synagogue and went into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's brother-in-law was sick, burning up with a fever. And straight away they told him about her. And he came and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. And that evening at sundown, they began to bring everyone who was sick and those who were being oppressed by demons. And the whole town was gathered together at the door. And he was healing many who were sick with various diseases. And he was driving out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a desolate place. And there, he began to pray. And Simon and those who were with him, they hunted him down. And they say to him, "Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you, Jesus." And Jesus says to them, "Let's go. Let's go to the next town so that I may preach there also, because that is why I came out." And he began to go throughout all their towns, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And a man with leprosy came up to him, and falling before him, kneeling before him and begging him, he said to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out his hand and touched the man with leprosy. And he says to him, "I am willing. Be clean." And straight away, his leprosy left him. And Jesus sent him away with a harumph. And he sent him away right away, straight away, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing the sacrifice that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to broadcast the account, with the result that Jesus could no longer openly enter into a town, but he was in the desolate places and people kept coming to him. They kept coming to him from everywhere. And some days after he had returned to Capernaum, it was reported that he was at home. And a great crowd gathered so that there was no longer any room, not even at the front door. And some people came carrying a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they saw that they couldn't get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof. They dug out the roof above him and lowered the paralyzed man on the pallet that he was laying on. And Jesus, when he saw their faith, he says to the paralyzed man, Child, your sins are forgiven. Child, your sins are now being forgiven. And there were some scribes sitting there. And when they heard him say this, they began questioning him in their hearts, saying, why does this man speak like this? He's blaspheming. No one can forgive sins but God. And Jesus, straightway perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned him in their heart, says to them, why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, pick up your pallet and walk, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He says to the paralyzed man, I say to you, rise, pick up your pallet and go home. And he arose straight away. He went out before them all, picked up his pallet, so that they were all amazed and they glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. We never saw anything like this. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we never saw anything like you. We've never known anyone like you. We've never experienced anyone like you. We are weary. We are pressed down under the burdens of our sins and our sickness. And so we need you to come, Jesus. We need you to tear open the heavens. We need you to blow the roof off this place and come down and possess us by your Spirit and send us out and make us people who fish for other people. Because everyone is looking for you, Jesus, even if they don't know it yet. Everyone is looking for you because you who died are alive. You've conquered death and you rule and you reign and you are returning straight away to make all things new. It's in your name that we pray, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.